shall we pray, Heavenly Father, we know your presence as a reality because we have been proven that by the manifestation of vindication, and know that the same one who came down for the shout is here for the voice, and also with the trumpet, and as Brother Branham said, that same one who met Paul on the road to Damascus had gone from the flesh to a pillar of fire, gone back. That same pillar, we understand who that one is, because that is God Almighty himself, calling this name, that name, many appellations, many titles. We know that you are one God, and you are the creator, you are the father of the true seed. We know that, but we also know that you are God. And in that, as being God, that supersedes even the relationship of being father, whereby there would be those who would claim the relationship and then attempt to take some kind of advantage. But when we look on you, Lord, as the great sovereign God, we know it is a time for reverence and for fear. Even as Brother Branham said, God is not some doty old grandfather that you can take liberties with. And Lord, tonight, we would not want to take any liberty at all, especially with your word, only the liberty that's granted us by revelation through the vindicated message and then truly revealed to us and shown in Scripture by the Holy Spirit, you yourself. We ask these mercies you guide us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're into number 23 of the leadership series, and because we took such a little time with the actual going into the message itself, we only got two or three paragraphs. I want to start over again and then see how far we can get tonight. So we'll just take the same preamble, sort of catch up on it. So as we continue to study this message, we must continue to realize that we are not simply talking about a man with a great ministry and admiring that ministry, which is evidently from God because things are being done that only God can do. We must realize and accept that the ministry of power in William Branham's life is an exact parallel to and resurgence of that ministry of God when God was in the tabernacle called Jesus, and he did the works that men recognized as coming and coming only from God. The next step is to realize that that ministry of power is God's way of attracting the people to the word, which he desires to give the people through the prophet who is ministering those acts of power. It's the same thing that Paul said. I never came to you with any wisdom of my own or anything that was at all sophisticated. I came in the demonstration power of the Holy Ghost. Remember, God is the Holy Ghost. Man must see the works of God in order to be drawn to hear the word of God and know it is indeed the vindicated word that God himself is bringing. God in this day anointed his prophet, and God himself performed the works, and God himself brought forth his own word. And all was done according to Deuteronomy 18, which is the only way that God can and will do it. The next and last thing is to realize that the majority reject the message. And only a bare minority, likened unto the eight people in the ark, are elected or chosen to see it. The mighty acts of God are only a temporary ministry, absolutely unduplicated, and is a sign of the word to follow. And there is no mention of a power ministry to follow based upon this tremendous vindication of Deuteronomy 18. And we must never forget the vindicated ministry of Deuteronomy 18, unduplicated, and nothing but a message will follow. People don't believe that. Well, you'll find out later. A true prophet of the word is always followed by false prophets, as was seen how that after Moses brought the message of the hour, Balaam came on the scene with tremendous prophecies. And though the prophecies themselves came to pass, the man himself was an enemy of the word. Then came Korah, Dathan, Abiram. And you notice all through Scripture that Balaam and Korah are mentioned along with Cain. Very disreputable people. And Brother Branham preached that in the Anointing Ones of the End Time, how it repeats in this hour. And this is what Brother Branham is trying to get over to the full gospel businessmen who have attempted, and they did a pretty good job, attempted to take over leadership for God by taking it away from the fivefold ministry or making the fivefold ministry subservient to them. And you notice the fivefold ministry fell for the gold. They went for the gold because they felt that these people, being commercial-minded, you could apply business tactics and business principles to the ministry, and you could simply then take books like Charles Finney wrote, and you can read history, and always the people are sure that what they did provoked God to a revival. They're going to lead the world to God. That's another Catholic doctrine. Going to take the world over for God so that Christ can come back and rule. And they're like Jehovah's Witnesses. Way back during Depression Day, they built a fabulous mansion in California for the tune of $50,000. And Rutherford, I guess, or Russell, maybe it was Russell, he was going to occupy and live in it till the Lord came, and I don't know who's living in it now. But if it's still there, it's going to be like that great, marvelous underwater attraction that the Armstrong bunch had. It'd be the finest religious underground underwater auditorium in creation, because it's all going under. You can't get them to see this because they're blind. They're blind and they're full of pride. Ignorance and arrogance go together. Wisdom and humility are also twins. So instead of bringing the world to Christ, they're bringing the world to Antichrist. Because no one has been more successful in the full gospel of businessmen than Mr. Duplessis, the Pentecostals, in bringing the last day group of people and others with them back to harlot Rome, and all the daughters are going back there. But even more tragic is the fact that many who loved and believed in Brother Branham will leave the word and go back. They never did have the word in the first place. They never believed it. That's the major problem. All right, we read that. And paragraph 179. No, that's not the one I want. I'll find it here. It's 192. On page 28. And any message that's come in a genuine, born message of God, that's what he's saying, a genuine message that's born of God, and it can't be genuine unless it comes from God, is different from the old trend. Now, he wants the people to know from history, both in the Bible and religious history, as taught in the schools and seminaries set forth by historians, that you'll notice there's always a change in the message. Now, you can trace that from the first age, it started to go down. And you'll notice that they'd lost their first love. And many things have been said about that first love, but the actual definitive revelation in my books, in my understanding, is their hearts began to lose their uncircumcised condition. And they began to clutter their hearts. When we speak of worship toward God, obscure the eyes of the soul by creeds and dogmas. And if you go back in that first age, you will find that many things came up. And just to let you know that you might have missed it yourself, it's in the Bible. Paul spoke of it already having run in a frontal attack with all the apostles who were on the verge of becoming Judaizers, and they all attempted to have Timothy circumcised. What in the name of common sense has circumcision got to do with anything when it comes to the gospel? But already they started on that trail down. Now, the reason I said that is because only the truly circumcised heart can love God with the whole heart. Otherwise, you have not just, you might say, a division of opinion, but you have a strong division in there of your whole feeling and attitude and your love and your desire to God. In fact, the actual fact of the matter is, in my books, that without God circumcising our hearts, giving us, as it were, a heart of flesh, to the old heart of stone and corruption, to really know the doctrine as we know it today, if God didn't do something for us, we couldn't love Him. There's no way. You're looking at 5.5 billion people that are cannon fodder, atomic fodder, going to be destroyed with flaming fire. God takes vengeance on them in the final end. And yet you look at this all here where you realize that God, being infinite, knew how many fleas there'd be, how many times they'd bat their eyes, and how much would they need to make a pound of tallow. Which is putting it succinctly and abrasively, but very accurately. And at no time has the will of God ever been thwarted. At no time has His word ever returned void because it was sent somewhere, special place, for a special purpose. And man comes back and says, who then has resisted His will? Sounds like a cut and dried thing. How can you get emotional in the right way if you knew that your father was predestinated to go to hell and the mother that you love so dearly? What do you think that Esau and Rebekah felt like when the word came, Esau have I hated? And Abraham, in spite of every good intention, could not prophesy over Esau any blessing or promise from God because he was not the true elect seed. Now, Rebekah played a very foolish part. Just like her ancestress Eve, she thought she could fiddle with the word. And so she had Jacob put on some goat hair and help him cook some savory food and dupe the old boy. And he said, it's the voice of Jacob in the hand of Esau. Of course, you know that's become quite a saying in the world. They talk Christian words and act like the devil. Oh, that's everywhere. Just everywhere. But, so he blessed him. Then Esau came, and his dad began to tremble like a leaf. He said, what is this? I've blessed Jacob. Why did he say, fat, rotten scoundrel, dare to fool with me? I thought he had more in the ball. I'll take it away. No, he said, yea, and he shall be blessed. Why? Because God spoke through him. What do you think? 8 people make the ark, percentage-wise. 5.5 billion people. Paul the Apostle, the first church age, he said, I could wish myself to be accursed for my brethren after the flesh, and I don't cease to pray for this bunch and that bunch. And Brother Branham at the end of the age says, I don't pray for America anymore. I'm here for a bride. Is that smog? Huh? Or is that Shekinah glory?
Amen.
Make up your mind. Make up your mind. What is the biggest circle of unbelief on the human heart? The sovereignty of God. God is not sovereign. We can bend him. We can sway him. I got news for you. Nebuchadnezzar learned the hard way. Belshazzar wouldn't learn. The return to Babylon, my dear brothers and sisters, is that Nebuchadnezzar who learned is no longer here, but Belshazzar is. He didn't even know when he didn't have a kingdom to divide and give to anybody. Full gospel businessman. My God, have pity. Not knowing that this great healing revival, discernment, and discernment, by the way, was like eating or sucking on a frozen mackerel alongside of the gift of healing. The people didn't have a clue to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And they still don't have a clue to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And they're never going to have a clue until it's too late. Where it says in verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder and soul and spirit, out of the joints and marrow, as discerner in the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked. Now, just a minute. Just a minute. There's no scripture whatsoever until John the Revelator in chapter 3 in the last church age pronounces nakedness. The same Revelator talks about it in the epistles, but here alone is where nakedness comes. And the nakedness of the people is something they don't even know about. They do not believe it. They don't have a clue. And thus saith the Lord, prove the condition they are in. And they weren't ashamed at his presence. In fact, they laughed and the women had a jubilee. Ha! We're going to cut our hair and wear our skirts the way we want, and we're going to preach. Put that in your Branhamite pipe and smoke it. Let it sink in. What I'm telling you, I was there. That's the condition of the world. Yet they say they're worshiping and praising God and going to bring everybody to God. Radio stations everywhere. There won't be a person in the world that will not have heard of the gospel. But what kind of a gospel if in the first church age the works in somebody else's flesh. Because that's what circumcision is. No child circumcises himself. It takes somebody else to do it. So, if they begin a works program and lost their first love, which was a pure heart, freshly reborn by the Word, and truly circumcised because they didn't have a Word. Now, this is why it is that Roman Catholics, and don't go patting yourselves on the back, but they are the best candidates for this message, because they really never had anything. When a glimpse of the Word comes, they had so little Word, and so inured with works programs, even to the extent of realizing they flagellate themselves to imitate the sufferings of Christ till the blood pours, ask a question, and I'm very rotten preacher, I'm very crude, I'm very rude, and I'm very lewd. A woman types the church, and when she flagellates herself, even to the extent of blood, to think she's pleasurable to God, she's getting some kind of a worship thrill there. Do you know women have flagellated themselves to have sexual feelings? Oh, you haven't read the books? Well, I'll buy them for you. I'll buy them for you. And before this message is finished, we'll talk about true spiritual sexual intercourse. No, they turned it all down. And they didn't know, when it struck them in this age, that Brother Branham could read every heart. And even say, like Jesus, your sin is forgiven. Only God can forgive sin. Did they forget that Jesus, the great prophet, said that only tell you what my Father tells me to tell you? No, they don't have a clue to the prophet. You know why? Because they are the prophets. Bolstered with gifts that are genuine. But you're going to still be a Judas who gave Jesus the affectionate kiss of betrayal. And that is in the original Greek. Judas did not hate Jesus. Many people love William Branham. They will not speak evil of him even today. But where he tramped on the Jesus-only toes. And let's get this flat. No Trinitarian despised William Branham like a Jesus-only. Huh? I know what I'm talking about. And I know their spirit. If you think a Roman Catholic spirit is devastating, you haven't been anywhere yet till you come across that Jesus-only. The oneness. Do you think Brother Branham was oneness? In one God, yes, but not oneness in the doctrine and not Jesus only. No. When this man did what he did, and only God can do it, because no mistake was ever made, you can't get a fortune teller or one of these persons with a familiar spirit, they'll make mistakes. And it showed here that nothing was hidden at the end time. Everything was naked. And the people refused to believe the condition they're in. Had they listened and understood what Brother Branham's saying here. When a divine healing went forth not long ago, did you notice how the impersonators followed it? They'd be different if they'd understood it. And every one of them went right in them, those organizations, staying there. Does anyone know that there had to be a message follow that? Why, God doesn't entertain us. He attracts our attention with something, and when he attracts our attention, then he gets his message. How did Moses even get to get a word? Pillar of fire. Bush didn't burn. Look, when he first came on the earth and started his ministry, oh, young rabbi, we want you over here in our church. Come on down here. The young prophet, oh, we want you here. Come here. One day he said, I and my father are one. Oh, he makes himself God. He did not make himself God. They said he made himself God. He didn't say that. So that's not the truth. That's merely a reaction. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you no life in you. He's a vampire. Turn us into cannibals, another priest, Brother Branham said. We'll have nothing to do with that. That was their reaction. That wasn't the word of God. You know something? God's word cannot return to him void, but it always does what the purpose is. And the purpose always has a season. See? Now, in this very hour here, these people did not realize what was happening in God's own mighty workings through a man to bring him to the word of Almighty God. Okay, we dealt with the first part. Oh, he makes himself God. That was over here in the book of John, the 10th chapter, and Jesus is talking, and he's walking in Solomon's porch, and the Jews come and say, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, now watch, he's not only doing it in the Father's name. If he did it in his Father's name, he had to do it in his own name because they got one name. If he wanted to do what the Norwegians and Swedes do, he'd have to call himself Jesus' son to know that he was the son of Jesus. But his Father's name was Jehovah Savior. So he came in his Father's name. They bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not my sheep, as said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither does any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is there to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now right here on the Great Shepherd, Psalm 23. Of course, it says the Lord is my shepherd. It's my understanding in the Hebrew. It's the caption is the Lord, my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it goes through the whole delineation there. Now, we know that God is the ultimate and great shepherd. And Jesus can only be shepherd on the grounds it's granted him of God to be that. So when he speaks, he's speaking only what he's granted by his Father to give him. And to be. Because in spite of every single thing that the Father has allowed him to be, to participate in, take jurisdiction over, he can never be God. Now, this is what I don't understand amongst the people who, they don't leave this church. I think a couple left. I can name the one man, his wife, I'm sure was utterly confused and didn't know if there's 1, 3, 4, 5, or 6 with a husband like that. I wouldn't know. My wife shouldn't know if I was that confused. And trusting my brain, not speaking evil, just speaking the truth, maybe rubbing it in a bit. But you only make a pork chop taste good by rubbing the sage. So, there's your truth right there. We maybe had one leave. The rest in leaving. Of course, some were asked to leave, like that one. This church did not quake for 1 minute to understand that Jesus himself is not God. And you know why? Because the doctrine of God in the prophet was so thoroughly taught here, and that Jesus himself was the great prophet, incarnating God himself. He didn't find it hard to realize that that's what he is, a man like we are, but in a capacity that we could never attain to. To begin with, if as the first begotten, he's entitled to 50% of everything his father has, which is what the firstborn gets. And the firstborn gets it because he's a perpetuator of the father's light. Right? What if he had only God desired to give a million of us, we could be a million bride. 1%. Well, he can't even do that. We're just allowed to share with Jesus. A man. A man of God approved among you. Oh no, he's a God of gods approved among you, as he's taught here in Grace Gospel Church. Neither can they read, neither can they see, neither can they hear. Something has happened to their brains. And I'll tell you what's happened. They've been taught wrong. They've been taught every time they see the word peas, it means beans. Right. So we talk about Jesus, the Son of God, all they can think of, just a minute. God the Son, you make two gods. How foolish can people be? Brother Branham himself said, Richard True in the Kenosis, that God poured into Jesus everything he was. Now, that doesn't mean to bomb it up, he poured in. Then God's nothing. We got rid of God. Now Christ turns around and pours everything to us. Now we get rid of him. No Jesus. Now we're the Elohim of God. Hi, gods. Oh, forget it. Yuck. I meet that in my sleep. I have a nightmare. What I'm telling you is, listen. Merciful God, I cannot fathom it. I stand here believing with, I am teaching Brother Branham 100% from this word vindicated, that we who believe as we believe are the only sane people left in the world. So, oh, you're taking it too far. Maybe I am, but I'm going to see just how far God will carry us. Because I'm going to stand with his word. No place in the Bible can I see eternal Son. No place can I see God the Son. But every place I can see the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God. And though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, and you cannot suffer except during temptation. Tempted in every way as we were. Bar none. And he's a high priest. And the high priest has got to come from amongst men. He lives to make intercession. I don't know. I could cry for them. I could cry for us. I don't understand. I and my Father are one. That makes Jesus his own Father. Forget it. Oh no, it's just God in offices. God in the Son, then, should be God the Son. God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. I don't buy that. I understand, Brother Branham finally got to the correct words. He used the word role, the mask. I and my Father are one, and that's exactly true because the Father was in him. And the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Now, see, if they'd have stood still and listened to get to the 14th chapter where he instructed his disciples, they wouldn't have had this embarrassing situation which condemned them. Jesus said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? They said, for good work we don't stone you, but blasphemy, because thou being a man makest thyself God. Now, he did not make himself God, and that is a lying statement. He did not make himself God, nor would that make him God. Because they understood Moses in the same light. And Jesus said, if you'd understood Moses, you'd understand me. If you knew Moses, you'd know me. But you don't know one thing except the history of the grandeur of the things that God did. You don't understand the word that came forth from it. And now here I am doing the same thing. He never made himself God. This is a lousy, filthy statement on the part of these serpent seed birds. What does Jesus do? He feeds them. Want to play? I'll play your game. You think Brother Branham didn't play their game too? He said, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? And that's true. You can go back there and find them in the Psalms. And if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and Brother Branham's right, that's the prophets. Only the word come to prophets. And the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified. Now look, if he's got a father, then this one's a son, right? Thou, and said to the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I'm the Son of God. Now, Jesus defended himself that he wasn't God, but he was a son of God. Tell me when he's changed. Oh, Brother Bale, he's gone back to a pillar of fire. I defy that statement. He's on his Father's throne, my dear little children. I wonder what God they've got enthroned in their hearts. Or a man can leave his faithful wife and pick up a young woman, marry her, and she prophesies by the hour. How'd you like them apples here? Well, if you're some kind of a baser animal and you love swill, I ain't mentioning any particular animal. I think they made a cartoon once, they called him Porky. Now watch. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Same as John 14 now, but they still don't get it. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And there's your answer. I and my Father are one, but I am not the Father. The Father's in me, the Son. And this is the principle from the beginning of creation. That the Son came forth, born of God. And by him, God created all things. But remember, he's a son. And remember, he led in the worship of God because the son always worshiped his father who is God. All right. So now, they said to him, you've made yourself God. And now in the Omega, they turn around and say, you people in Grace Gospel Church and a few idiots that believe what Brother Vail teaches, you got two gods. I don't understand. Talked to Luke the other day, and he said, Brother Gregory said, a man that sat in his ministry for many years, when he finally caught, I guess, that Brother Earl was preaching, there's one God, and his son Jesus Christ, and everything else rotates and rolls around him. Can't you understand the Lamb on the throne and the pillar of fire above the throne? And there is no light there, and no need of sun and moon and no temple. Now I could start screaming because something strikes my heart that's real. So I got a devil, I guess. I'm full of the unholy ghost. Who did Judas betray? Huh? God had left his son in the Garden of Gethsemane. So now we got no more God. I don't know where they're coming from. There's nothing I can say to put in perspective because it's just simply beyond me. But they say, you people believe in two gods. And I tell them, if I believe in two gods, then I believe in perhaps 1 million or 3 million gods. The fact that you're a son of God does not make you God. No, they can't look at Omega and go back to Alpha. They can't take Alpha and go to Omega. You see, if they did, they'd understand what I'm preaching, but they defy Brother Branham. They defy him because he told us to watch Alpha and Omega, and what's in Genesis has to come out here in Revelation or forget it. And if it comes out that Adam and Eve are to control the world and their progeny. Now listen, get this flat. And it ends up contrary to that, and the contrary harvest is that Son of God on that throne, having overcome death and sin and every quirk and every creation, everything else, and cause man to come and sit with him. Follow me? That Omega has to be the original word that God said, and I don't care how you read it. Get this flat. I've told one guy, I'll tell many guys. If I'm a liar, every liar goes to the lake of fire, and he can have the... Now, this is sacrilegious, I realize, because I'm a horrible type of person. He could have the privilege. Maybe he wouldn't allow it, but whoever wants the privilege, if I'm in the lake of fire, they can step on my head. Cease, live, die. Sink or swim. You get the picture. The word of God cannot return to him void. The original intent must come to pass at the harvest, or forget it. Brother Branham categorically said the truth. He caused an interruption. A delay. And we saw what came forth after the delay. We're going to enter into it. So I don't know what they're talking about. But he says, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you no life in you. Well now. That's very interesting. Except you eat his flesh. All right, at the end time, when all the people come together, there's a group of people that, wherever the carcass is, the eagles are gathered. Now I got news to that word isn't carcass, it's body. Where the body is. There's two gatherings, one to the Toma, one to the Soma. Brother Branham was concerned only with the Soma. He'd given up on the Toma. Forget it. 1956, I don't pray anymore. He doesn't pray, why should you? The only prayer you can pray according to the Word of God now is pray for the authorities. That's legitimate. They're going to go down anyway, but the point is you pray for them. Now, listen carefully. This word in the Greek, eat my flesh, is the word sarx, which means literally the skinned carcass of an animal. Brother Branham talked of God veiled behind badger skins until he came and became veiled behind the skin of whom? His only begotten Son. So if I peel the skin off, I'm just giving you plain from the Bible. If I peel the skin off of this one who died for me, the only thing left is God. That's right. Because that's what it's all about. Now notice. Brother Branham says this concerning the veil of the skins and so on. God was behind it. Was death to not to go behind the veil at one time, now it's death not to. Listen what he says. The Son of Man is Christ. Now notice, Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Prophet. Unless you eat from what's under the skin of the prophet, you have no life. you just die. You got to eat and drink both. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. The man's just the veil. He's the skin. We skin him. See? A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word. Now, why did he have to say that? Because that's the Bible. Eat my body. Eat my flesh. This is it. He tells you right here what I'm talking about. Do you think Brother Branham knew that word was sarx, which was the carcass of a skinned animal? Oh, come on. I think there's many times he used the Greek, but he didn't use it there. He's telling you under divine inspiration, the Son of Man. Man does not constitute a prophet of himself. Forget it. No way, shape, or form. He's just a man. And some are pretty slim pickings as men, I guess, when you look at the picture over. You know, really, they're not to be admired in the flesh. If you go for the flesh, you're kidding yourself. That's why to try to imitate Christ ain't going to do you no good. You can't imitate. You got to feed on something there. Piling word upon word, getting nourishment. Feeding the inner man. The Son of Man is Christ. In other words, the Son of Man, every prophet has to have God in him. Remember, Christ is Messiah. What did Brother Branham call us? Messiahs, certainly. Not Jesus-ets, but Messiahs. Ambassadors for Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Isn't that marvelous? That's John 14 and 10 again, just like I read in John 6 earlier. Take away the man, for indeed, my dear friends out there in Never Never Land, to say you believe and I doubt your beliefs, he's a man. Take away the man, for indeed Jesus is a man. He still is. And what is left is God. pure and simple God indwelling the Son. Not the Son as though he were God indwelling himself. Oh, that's a mystery right there. That's about as good as the mystery they saw when they went to China and they found a slant-eyed virgin and a little slant-eyed baby. And the copy underneath, I believe, said, the child is the husband of the mother. Ooh, that's great. That's Catholicism. Not the Son as though he were God indwelling himself, but God in a man, and that man the only begotten Son of God. Why? Because he was. He was. He was the repository, whether you want it or not. God first, Jesus, Adam. And his Adam all died, because that's where it went. And let's get this flat. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of the man is Christ, and the head of Christ is nobody. Huh? That's a lie from hell, and that's what they believe. The head of Christ is God. Huh? Why do they want it? You tell me. So we feed on the word of God, for a man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Yes, but he used the prophet's mouth. And Brother Branham said, nothing outside of this message shall come to light. That's in this hour. All the righteous under Pentecost, Wesley and Luther will come up, and don't you believe they won't. He also said, except you drink my blood. Drink means to imbibe. Or to draw water or some fluid into the mouth and hence to the body. Now, Jesus was the true manna or bread from heaven. He is also the riven rock. Now, we don't eat rocks. We don't drink rocks. We drink water. He was a riven rock. The rock foundation of God himself coming into manifestation so a church could be built. A temple. And when Christ was smitten, his blood poured forth like water. So now you drink. And what does it do? It gives life. It gives life to the body. But the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you'll not understand any word, even though it's plainer than the nose on your face, and you're told it 1,000 times a day, you'll still come away saying, those people believe in 2 gods, they got 2 gods. Now, there, this tape will bring a lot of criticism, I care less. There's only one thing can change me. If the pillar of fire came to me personally, he ain't going to come. If a pillar of fire came to me, I would have to rebuke it. And what if it was God? I'm on the spot, see? By my own words, I'm justified. By my words, I'm condemned. So are you. The Bible says so. And using the very word of God. I'm not here to deceive anybody. Neither am I deceived. Since the life is in the blood, his life went forth when his blood was shed. The life was poured back and came upon the people. Thus we can see that even vindicated word demands the Spirit of God anointing the people that the word might be effective to them. Many receive it and it is only a patch on an old garment. And what happens? The patch remains, but the garment's gone. It's new wine in old bottles. The wine remains. The bottle's gone. When Cord, Dave, and Byron dared to present the censers with incense, false fire, God said, keep the censers. Kill them. Fire destroyed it. The new pets will go on. And the new wine will go on. But the old garment, the old bottle's finished. Many receive it only as a patch on an old garment, or take what they want only and change it to suit themselves according to their old teaching. And then add new ideas to it, to take it as a new idea. Preach it as because of conscience sake. I wonder why this man that deserted the Word and is looking for God to talk to him. Now he's up in Virginia somewhere, and he's going to stay there till God talks to him. He's opened himself to the devil. Oh, no, Brother Bill, don't say that. A man surely couldn't approach unto God and get the devil. Cain approached to God and killed his brother and spit in God's face. Don't you dare do that to me. Look at who I am. Don't you dare do that. I heard a man not long ago, a preacher, who prides himself on his great love. Identical. Well, that's the whore again after sexual intercourse for money and fraud. Just like she ate a piece of bread, a little jam and butter, wiped your mouth. Good business. You say, Brother Bale, do you believe people are that low? They are that low. Can't you smarten up and understand? Examine your own hearts in the light of the presence of God. Realize what the flesh can do. That's why we got an intercessor. If we didn't have him, we'd all be on our way to hell now, and the whole plan of God's finished. But, you know, he's really sleeping. And somebody better wake him up. What are the Jews going to do? But if one is truly filled with the same spirit that came upon Jesus, every word will be correctly received, and then it is reality, the reality of God and his word. And at that time, we and ourselves are one. Even as Brother Branham said, and this he said three times it takes place, and that day, you'll know that I am in the Father, and you and me, and I and you. That was at Pentecost, and now, and at the white throne. And the same prophet of God categorically told us something else. He said, one day you'll be saying, I and my Father are one. Oh, blasphemy. How are you going to call you and your Father God one? With maybe 100 people on the inside and 2,000 on the outside. Say the same thing as Jesus said. Then you say, but Brother Dale, I'm not making myself God. Neither did Jesus. I told you, when I heard Michener in his book on Africa, and I gave you the quote, I got it somewhere. It's not in my Bible anymore, but it's somewhere around. And the quote was, when a nation loses its language, the meaning of words, there is nothing left. So here you're all in the shop. And the teacher, contrary to the man who's bossing the job, tells every one of the young men taking a training class, this is a wrench. And it's a saw. And now they come to the job. And the man says to one, go and get the wrench. He brings back a saw. You say, Brother Bale, it's not bad. I can prove to you. I proved you it's that bad. They don't understand English. They don't understand words. They understand nothing. Because Jesus is not God. He said so. William Branham said so. I am saying so. The most you can say, he's God, but he's not God. He's the Son of God. He's a man. He came just like we do. You brought everything out by your stupidity and your foolishness because you want it exactly that way. That's exactly the way they want it. They went from Trinity to Jesus only. It's not my fault. Melchizedek under the seventh seal explains it perfectly. Now let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, the second chapter, we're going to read verses 8 to 17. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Where did Brother Branham say the Garden of Eden was? Yeah, Africa. That's why they're finding all that crud down there now. Say, oh, this is the tooth of a man between the chimpanzee and a man. Ha, ha, ha. No such animal. If it were, it'd have to be the tooth of the serpent, or maybe Cain's. Cain's tooth, maybe. He put the man he'd formed. Now notice the man he'd formed. That's that body he's talking about. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And notice it doesn't say these were in the garden. It says these were in the midst. So they didn't come out of the ground. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the river went out of Eden to the water garden, to water the garden. And thence it was parted. And became into four heads. The first is Pison. And right on down it talks about it. Third is Hiddekel and so on. Verse 15, and God, Lord God took the man, put him in the garden to eat and dress and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden that is freely eat, but of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. From the day of the eating of thou dost surely die. Now, you notice in there, two trees never came out of the ground. And one you could not have anything to do with. Now remember, the word intercourse is not basically sex. Intercourse is the principle that two people or several people can come together and talk. And intelligently communicate themselves to each other so they might have agreement, perchance, and we hope so. Actually, it's a basis of what Brother Branham called fellowship. Now, you can't eat. So let's go to the Songs of Solomon. And I don't want to shock you, but this is the dirty book of the Bible, so-called by the filthy people who don't understand it. Beginning at verse 3, here's a love scene. As the apple tree amongst the trees of the wood, so is my beloved amongst the sons. I sat down under the shadow of the apple tree, and the apples were delicious. Well, can you read it any different? If you read it any different, you're not reading the Bible. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. He's a fruit tree. I sat down under his shadow. The Lord is my shepherd. He made a cloud by day to keep me from the sun. And he put fire at night to keep me warm. And he fed me manna. All according to God and his holy word. He loved me. He attracted me. He wooed me. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me in his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples. I'm sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Are you so stupid tonight you don't know that's a sex act? It's an act of love. The arousal. Pornography? Let's find out. I charge you, O ye daughters, Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up your wake, my love, till he pleases. Don't do anything to call off the love feast. Are you ready? Notice. He can put her away. But she cannot put him away. He did it and proved it in the days when Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, when they refused to become the further part of him having spiritual sexual affair. Well, Brother Branham, you're crude. No wonder Lee Bale's crude. He had a very good mentor, but he's outcruded you. No, I haven't outcruded him. I just don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. You want to hide it? You hide, do what you want to do. Marriage and divorce, brother, sister. He's putting this age away. Why? Because she refused to become the further part of him. The further part of him. The further part of him. They refuse. Well, Peter said they denied him by having a spiritual sexual affair to become pregnated with the further part of his word. You understand? She refused. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a wrong impregnation. Eve should have borne the seed Christ. But she refused having the spiritual sexual affair. And she went to the animal, the beast, because he was suave, handsome, devastating, grand. The beast is the same today. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. I won't refuse that affair. Oh, no. Nope. The bride gets pregnant with the living word of God, so no seed will come into her mind ever again to get to her spirit and get to her soul and condemn her. This bride has an affair with the word where there's life. Now let's get this flat, brother, sister. The conduit of the blood is the flesh. The conduit of the Holy Ghost is the word. And the word was made flesh. Because there was a life, a spirit called the soul of God that Jesus got from God. And the same thing with Adam. The same thing today. That's why Jesus was born of a virgin. Why the bride must become a virgin. And Paul the apostle told the truth. If you don't believe I'm telling you 100% truth, and I got it from my mentor, William Branham, vindicated prophet of Almighty God of the same stature of Moses and Paul. Oh, I love that. He said, but I fear, I'm jealous over the godly jealousy. I can feel in my very bones. I've espoused you to one husband. You're his wife. Watch it. I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear lest many means, as a serpent beguiled through his subtlety, so your minds. Don't talk about the heart. Talk about the mind. Because the brain is in the body, and the mind is in the brain, and the spirit interlinks, bringing you to a three. Be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ. For if he that preaches another Jesus, wrong seed. Don't tell me that they've drunk his blood. No. But they crept in. And pretty soon, the light began to fade. Let me tell you this, brother, sister. Eve was a beautiful virgin. Adam was a beautiful young man. And they should have, under the right conditions, propagated the earth to bring forth a beautiful species. But look where we are today. So the same with the church. That seed can be buried in there, but it's buried in a rotten apple. There's a problem. The seed will always come through. You'll never change the seed. Paul said, look, another Jesus and so on. Now then, we can look at something that I like to look at, and I'm speaking strictly for Lee Vale. Well, I will take you to Scripture in my speaking, and the illustration is compatible with the Word, so I'm not one bit off the Word. And I want to say this, the word drink is taken from the same root word, or is the root word, actually, for the word fatness, which signifies the oil, plump condition. Healthy, plump. Can anyone think of a phrase in the last day that describes the children of God concerning plumpness? Calves in the stall. So we go to Romans 11 chapter. And Paul is speaking of the grafting in of the Gentiles. We read verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? If they ever get grafted back into that tree, the resurrection will take place. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So that means telling you right here, God is going to bring forth a perfect bride church unto himself. Why? Because it's in the seed. Cover the dishpan. Spray it with oil. Throw glue on it. Or let a skunk come by and spray it. You're not going to change that light that's in the seed. You can't change seed. You can dabble with it. God allowed that. But not with the seed of God there. You cannot be white, black. You cannot be righteous, wicked. You cannot be dead, alive, drunk, sober, you name it. It's impossible. Now, if some of the branches be broken off, and they were, seven church ages back then, and thou being a wild olive tree, coming from the Gentiles, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. There you are. The drink. What is the tree's drink? It's the sap. And the tree is the carrier. The life and the word has always been the determining factor. You cannot get rid of Rhema Logos because that is word of spirit and life. Talk about Rhema Logos, you're going to hell. Challenge you. Talk about Logos without Rhema. You've left your Bible. Let me tell you this in my humble opinion. As you and I are genetically coded. Even though we have problems. I say God was the first genetically coded one. He doesn't have problems. Amen. And if we were in him, he's going to bring forth perfect sons and perfect daughters. To the praise of the glory of his grace, of all of us, those who trust in Jesus Christ our Lord. What are we partaking of? We're partaking of the fatness. And at the end time, Brother Branham said, if you ever put forth another tree, it'll be a genuine Pentecostal tree, which is what? People being baptized with the Holy Ghost. The pillar himself had the power of God, had done to divide himself. Then he came right to the Apostle Paul and set the whole thing in order. The same at the end time. Alpha's Omega. You can't change a try if you want to try. A good woman is a good thing. I know that. I know it by real women. I've met real women that are genuine, just as real as any man ever walked. It's true. She's a byproduct and a piece of him. And in the fall, he listened to her. She's just a part of him, but it's up to her. She can be made, she can be made so filthy, and she's given the right to refuse or accept. It's first refused. The thing they shouldn't have done, they did not refuse. Sexual affair with the world, creeds and dogmas, and all the filth. The affair that she should have not refused, she did. Look at the age we're living in. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter. After we have the epiphania, the understanding that Jesus has risen from the dead and God is now doing by his prophet exactly what he did in the days of Jesus, which is Isaiah 42 coming to pass, Matthew 12 absolutely. He said, but as there were false prophets way back there, after this, there won't be false prophets. We can laugh at him. This guy running around the world, discern everything else. I don't care how he'd come and stand here. Give me one, thus saith the Lord. Take one challenge. You can't hide if you try it. Let him try to do it. Some little gift. And he said, Brother Brown, especially Lee, they'll mess the bride up. He's going to come and unmess her. Want to sing a little song, you know, Stan? Brother John? Brother John made a little song up. We won't sing it tonight. We'll get it later. All right. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresy. Now listen, the teaching is what's playing the important part today, because most Branhamites refuse anything to do with a attempted duplicated ministry of Brother Branham or attempted word that he tries to produce by reason of what he is producing that God allows him to produce in the gifts. But boy, he can come and teach and snow everybody. He's just got to come and be nice. Now, of course, Brother Bale is not sanctified and doesn't have any love. I've got the word. And I haven't done what David did yet. And of course, never. Spoke words written in seed. We saw this. And that's how adultery committed virtually. When you, knowing better by the word of God, by the intercourse of the mind, take in the lie of the devil against the word of God, that's exactly what he did. With a spiritual intercourse first that came by believing Satan lie into the womb of her mind, that polluted her soul, set death in the soul, then the natural act took place. She's the only, and that's the only way that a woman can ever commit adultery against her husband, is the first to let some man talk her into it, then receive another man that's not her husband. And if that man's already married, you produce the first bastard. Because a bastard child can only come from two people already married, getting together and have a child. Which would be the man and a woman, man and woman. I write right in my Bible here, Brother Branham said so. Then she's committed adultery. When the bride of Christ lets man-made creeds and dogmas take the place of the word of God, she's committing adultery. She's a whore. She's going to lock her mind up. So they're praying against the word of God. And you know what? God's going to answer their prayers. Because the Bible says so. Said leanness to the souls. He'll send the flesh like he sent the quail, and they won't do it except they'll be so hungry for it, they'll rip into it without killing it. In other words, they'll keep defying every word of God. As Brother Van said, add a word, add a word, add a word, add a word, never quit. Take a word, take a word, take a word, never quit. So now we've got a female God. Women running the church. Homosexual taking control. You can curse and swear in public, but you can't have prayer in the schools. They taught the kids how to run wild, to be immoral and filthy. They're trying to patch it up. Good God. You might as well try to vulcanize hell. Just to think their idea of birth control is going to work. Sex doesn't come that way. He made no preparation. Neither did Adam, neither did the beast need any. It just got worse and worse and worse. It'll get worse and worse and worse. And now they're finally hitting the poor whites. Before it was the poor blacks that were doing all the pregnancies out of wedlock. And the Hispanics. And now they're finding the white beautiful majority. So nice, you know, us white people. God, we're so beautiful. God's got to be white. I doubt that very much. They find they're multiplying illegitimately like a bunch of fleas on a dog. Except ye eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life, and there is no life outside of this message. And nothing outside this message will come to life, because it's Rhema Logos. Spirit and life. That's the way it is. Do what you want about it. I know it's the truth, not because I feel good. That's not the point. It's the word. And I know I can read. And I know I can talk. And I can talk what I read, and I can be very, very precise. As well as very, very cutting. But I want to tell you, it takes a tough sword to cut through this corruption we got today. Where men's minds and hearts, especially the conscience, is seared with a hot iron. The heart is turned to rock. Even the prophet said, oh, would to God, like the other prophet, I had a quill or a pen made of steel that I could write on the flinty rock. Won't do a bit of good. God used his own finger on the flinty rock, and they broke it and went on their way carousing and careening and lust and rotten sin and degradation, and the golden calf took over like it's doing today. Well, it's going to happen. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight as we depart from here, going our separate ways, Lord, knowing that this is your word, Lord, and no matter how we emphasize this and that or dramatize this or that, it's not in us at all. It's in your word, O God. We feel the great depths of it and the satisfying portion of it. And not that we make ourselves anything, but we ourselves are in fear and trembling concerning it. That we should misconstrue one thing or for one moment be off one word, but how can we be when it's vindicated? And surely, Lord God, if we had the ability back there to know at that particular time that this was a man, something within us made us to know this was a man to hear, certainly then we know those men we should not hear, as they did in the first age when they said, you're false apostles, get out of here. You don't say what Paul said, and so today we say what Brother Branham said, hopefully word by word, Lord. We are getting the truth and disseminating thereof. Bless your people tonight, Father. May there not be one sick amongst us. Even, Lord, I've got pretty good health concerning everything. Still got a lot of things that I could lose, and many people do lose by this time. But you're good to me, and I appreciate it so much. And if one person can get a little help, one person can be lifted up, one person can be enthused within the Spirit by the true word of the living God, where that body, soul, and spirit, especially the mind, the spirit, and the soul, come together, Lord, in rejoicing of that word. Drinking that word in and bringing it, breathing it literally out in their words to the people. Building each other up in the most holy faith. That's what it's all about. Help us to do that, Lord. Be in that position and to do it. And never sustain from doing it. But to do it. And not fail. Now to the King eternal and most invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus.